Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we are talking about how you can get back to school as an adult and what continuing your education might add to your life. And a great guest to start the program, Steve Fry. He is president of the American Association for Adult and Continuing Education. Later, we're going to hear from Angela Kelber and Sarah Grammer, who are from UW-Milwaukee's School of Continuing Education. But wondering, what are your thoughts on going back to get a degree or maybe a second degree? What would help you navigate the higher education system? I think we have some help for you. Join in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Steve, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in today.
I really appreciate you asking me to be here today. This is an area of passion for me. So I'm actually excited to talk with you all and maybe be some help to your listeners.
I can hear that passion in your voice. What's the admission for the American Association for Adult and Continuing Education?
Okay, it AAACE, AAACE, people call it all kind of things. It is really an umbrella organization that draws together adult educators from all kinds of fields that are all passionate about lifelong learning. I mean, from higher education to adult basic education to high school equivalency to corporate trainers to military educators. It is a nice umbrella organization that really has this mission to expand opportunities for adult growth and development, to bring adult educators together, to disseminate theory, research, information, and really is passionate about change. Because education changes lives.
I certainly agree with you on all of those points. You're describing a lot of options there that people have for continuing in education. It sounds like credit or non-formal education.
Yes. Yes, we are. Now, in particular, today, if we're going to be talking about higher education, we can take the conversation that direction, however you'd like to take it.
Yeah, well, we take it all different directions.
All right, sounds great.
I have to say here as an aside, I've taught for many years at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and in my classes, I often had an older adult in among the students. And it was always a great experience, not only for the adult, but for the young students who were there, and for me personally.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I tell you what. What are the biggest reasons adults choose to continue their education later in life?
You know, it is so different for each individual person. I have, in my own experience, I've run programs at our university for non-traditional learners. Some people are going back because they really need credentials that they don't have. We find people often that are in a job that if they applied for that job today, they couldn't get that job because it has a certain requirement for a credential. And so they'll come back and get that credential. And for example, we had a person in our program who worked in a factory, had a couple of them actually, who worked in factories and then went back and got their bachelor degree. Both of them became the plant managers of those plants. But they couldn't do that job without a degree.
Oh my gosh. Well, that sounds like a very good reason to finish that education. How accessible is higher education to adult learners? And as you're pointing out here, you've got people coming from different backgrounds and circumstances than, say, their 20-year-old counterparts might be.
Yeah, I think sometimes just figuring things out can be difficult, especially if people have been out of that world or if they're returning students and they've been out of school for a long time. It can seem a little daunting, but the thing to know, I think, is that universities, colleges, community colleges, technical schools, they really want non-traditional learners. And there is a space for them there. Often people feel intimidated, like they couldn't do this, or there's no way they can no way they can navigate this situation. But there are avenues out there for them. Looking, getting on those university websites or those sites and looking specifically for things for returning students, non-traditional students.
Yeah, and you know, I thinking about this and thinking about some of the people that I've worked with over the years in my teaching, learning styles of adult students can differ a bit from those of young adult students.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest issues is just not being at the same technical literacy as someone who is like, as they would call it, digital native. I know I was not a digital native. I remember that pre-cell phone world. Some of us actually remember that. And you're seeing non-traditional students who are doing things on their phones that might seem a little intimidating. I really think there are that adults bring a very different skill set. Sometimes the technology is a little bit of a challenge, but the thing that really leads to success for them is they really know why they're there.
Yeah.
And they also bring with them a depth of experience that enhances the educational environment. They find connections to their learning with life, which all these things are just the basic things of adult learning theory that lead to learner motivation. They know why they're there. And I know that the learning styles, the learning approaches can be different. I think a lot of it is asking questions, is understanding that those of us in education, most of us came into this world because we wanted to teach people and we want people to be successful. And so the most teachers will find a way that'll work for you. If we'll just reach out, we'll ask, we'll try.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. As I was thinking about the classroom situation, one of the things I always enjoyed about having older adults is almost invariably they would ask really good questions in class.
Yes.
And they would not be afraid to ask a question that maybe a younger student might think is, well, that's going to sound dumb if I ask that question. And so in carrying on a conversation in a class, they were they've always been outstanding. Roadblocks. What are the roadblocks that adults often run into when they choose to go back to school?
Okay, life adjustment, I think, is one of the largest issues. Trying to figure out how to work all of this in your schedule. My youngest son is doing a certificate program at Penn State in remote sensing. And he's had to figure out how to put that into his already very busy life. And I think sometimes that's a big one. Confidence is a real big one. People feel intimidated a lot of times because I've been out of school for a while. I'm not gonna be able to keep up with these youngins, you know, I'm not gonna be able to do it. Other issues, just sometimes technology access. I'm at Tennessee Tech University and we are in rural Middle Tennessee. And we have people that really do not have good internet access. If they do, it's extremely expensive, unfortunately. Sometimes that's a roadblock. Childcare can be a roadblock if it's a face-to-face program. If people are having to travel, actually just transportation can be an issue also. And a lot of that has changed since the pandemic because there are many more online options now. And what we found in our program was that adult students actually found out they could do something online. because they had to do everything on everything online for a while. And people who thought there's no way I could do something online found out they can.
I think the worst experience of teaching in my entire career was in 2020, when I had to go in the middle of the semester from teaching in person to teaching online, and I had never done it.
It was an experience, I'll tell you that. A challenge.
I got a quick lesson in what some older adults might feel when they're going into that kind of situation. Suddenly, you're dealing with a lot of technology.
Yes. Now, some universities and other programs really do try to reach out into communities to try to offer other opportunities for people who may not feel as comfortable in an online environment. So I would look around. Around in a person's area, find out actually what's there. We've offered programs at community college campuses to help people finish a bachelor's degree. Community colleges and technical colleges and other schools of the like, they are not that far away often. Yeah. So there really are face-to-face options.
And that brings up an important point, too, when it comes to the financial side and how long you're going to be doing this there. There are credit for prior learning that can help maybe eliminate some.
Yes.
Talk about that for a bit.
Yeah, we do that in our program here. What we try to help people understand is that people have college-level, credit-worthy learning that they have acquired in their lives outside of a traditional learning environment. And higher ed is doing a much better job at understanding that and seeing there really is equivalent learning that can be assessed in a number of different ways through portfolio types of approaches where people will, they'll gather all the things, all the trainings, all the learning that they have done and present that to be evaluated. There are many, many schools that are understanding that that is very, very important learning. And it is a way to accelerate one's way through the process because there is a significant amount of credit that can be earned.
Absolutely. Steve Fry, our guest today, president of the American Association for Adult and Continuing Education. Are you considering maybe going on, or what's held you back, or maybe you have gone on and have an experience to share? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking about adult education on the show today, Larry Mueller here with my guest to start it, Steve Fry, president of the American Association for Adult and Continuing Education. You can call us at 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Liz emailed us, Steve. She just finished an accelerated 14-month secondary teacher program at the UW, with the Pledge Program, which is free tuition if she teaches 3 to 4 years in Wisconsin in the future. She's 53. It's a master's program. Pledge Program made this possible money-wise, and it was challenging and exciting. Platforms like Canvas were intimidating, and the younger people navigated just fine. Zoom classes with breakout rooms and matrix graphs. Oh, my. As she also says, balancing the family, the house, all the things she did before the program. But she found a mentor her same age, and she upped her therapy for extra support. Also being in performative space and being graded and judged, that was an adjustment, too.
That is a fantastic description.
Yeah, I think so as well. She, mention of a mentor, she found a mentor the same age, but that often can happen not by, you can do it by choice typically in most institutions. find somebody.
Yeah, and there's such an emphasis in institutions now on student success that if one reaches out and one really tries to find things, like at our university, there is a non-traditional student association where people can find other students like them who are struggling with similar issues. One of the big problems is get feeling like you're the only person who's dealing with the problems you're dealing with. And the truth is, you're usually not. And this is a great idea of finding that person out there who has a little bit more experience in that world where you're struggling. That's great work.
Yeah, I was an academic advisor as well. And academic advisors are there, and they're there to help, for sure. Financial aid, there can be financial aid available to students.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is so much emphasis on getting people to finish degrees right now. Right now, I was looking at the National Student Clearinghouse. 41.9 million Americans have some college, but no type of credential. So there's a lot of emphasis on trying to help people come back. More and more states are moving toward tuition-free programs. I'm in Tennessee. We were actually the first state in the United States to announce completely free community college, technical college. And another thing I think that's good to remember is that adult students actually, they are wanted by these institutions. And there is help out there. It does take a little looking. It takes a little talking. There are some states have these reconnect programs where you can look around on where the state is actually helping adult students connect back to higher ed, because there's really a lot of incentive in it right now for the institutions themselves. And also, your listeners may know this, but right now, 24.9% of people in higher education are over 25. It's a pretty significant number.
That is a significant number. I want to go back to technology for just a minute, because I know that's can be daunting for people. There may be a need to purchase personal devices.
Yes.
So there could be some cost there. And typically, where can people find help with technology if you're enrolled in a course that's using it?
Say more about your question.
So if I'm going to take a course that involves the use of technology, anything from the hardware to the software side of things, where can I get some help on how to manage Google or whatever?
Okay, I get your question now. Sorry about that. At most universities, there is an IT student section for people to get those particular helps. At our university, you go over, contact them, and they work really hard at trying to make people's devices connect and work with the different technology that the people are not familiar with. There is often tutorials that are on the sites. If you get into these learning management systems, like you mentioned Canvas, there are extensive tutorials if persons dig a little bit into those websites and just look for the help buttons. And there are lots of conversations and videos about things like that.
Yeah, and if you're just thinking about it but have been held back because of worry about that sort of thing, I have been a big proponent of local libraries, because
absolutely,
most of the local libraries have someone who can sit down with you right in your own, community and kind of go over some things for you and maybe allay some fears or at least give you the confidence to want to go ahead and try.
Absolutely, and they often have equipment you can use there in the local library.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's challenging. What advice can you offer to adults to ease the transition?
I think really, there was a student we had, Ron Tiller, who came back to school after 40 some years after he left college, was a successful person in business, and he came back and wanted to finish his degree. And his advice he tells people is the hardest part is just doing it. That's the most difficult thing to get past is just that moment of actually just jumping in there and doing it. Understand that you know why you're doing this. You have this motivation that is so powerful. I want to say you're probably going to do really well, probably much better than you expect, because you have this different motivation and it's going to drive you. You're going to figure it out. Another thing is you know things. You really know a lot of things and you can make connections. And the significant learning that happens when people connect their learning to their world, to their experiences, and you're going to be able to do that. Yeah. And it's intimidating, but you know, I've just watched so many people be successful and it is such a joy to watch them be successful.
Absolutely. Paul in Madison wants to share his experience. Paul?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the program. When I was 40, I had kind of hit a dead end in my career at that point. And so I was casting around for something else to take me through the rest of my working life. And so I ended up I have to give a plug for these guys, Madison Area Technical College. I went into an IT program. It kind of speaks to what you were talking about, well, how do you deal with technology when you go back to school? Well, I got into technology. It was a 2.5-year program, and I came out of there really ready to hit the ground running in my new career. It was well worth it. We had a network. It was interesting because the people in this program ran the gamut from just out of high school to people that had actually been retired from one line of work and wanted to try something different. So we had a whole, a really broad spectrum of classmates. And it was just the most wonderful experience in my educational life. I brought, although some people will disagree with this, I think I brought more maturity to it at that age, more discipline. And I was motivated because I was leaving a career. I was going to put my life savings on the line because I had been saving up to buy a house. And I said, you know what? I think I'll invest in me instead.
You know what, Paul? That's a perfect way to end this part of our conversation. Steve, and I want to thank Paul for his comments and his experience. And Steve, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and talking about this. It's been a pleasure. Steve Fry is president of the American Association for Adult and Continuing Education. And just now, coming up right now, we're going to take a look at what UW-Milwaukee is doing to provide continuing education. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about continuing your education as an adult. And now we're going to hear about some programs and opportunities at the UW-Milwaukee. And a couple of guests for you. Our first guest welcoming Angela Kelber, who is Associate Director of Continuing Education at UW-Milwaukee. Angela, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Great to have you with us. Sarah Grammer, our other guest, is Director of Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at UW-Milwaukee. And Sarah, welcome to you.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you with us as well. As we talk with our educators, I hope you'll join in wondering about the education programs that UW-Milwaukee offers. give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Let's talk a bit first about the Milwaukee School of Continuing Education. Angela, you want to tell us about the programs you offer?
Yes, definitely. So, first of all, I just want to say that UWM School of Continuing Ed is really committed to the lifelong learning. So we are the largest provider of professional development in southeastern Wisconsin. And we are here downtown, located here downtown for over 20 years, offering support for individuals, businesses, and organizations. Our programs span for various fields, including business, leadership, management, labor relations, engineering, health, human services, nonprofit, culture, languages, you name it. And we have our programs here. They are short programs. They are really targeting for people that have their busy lives with working, so they don't have the whole semester to get accredited. They are really 1 week, 1 day, 2 days, short programs to give you the information that you needed with the tools that you needed to, from here, go back to your work. They are competency-based education.
Who are the instructors for your classes?
So our instructors, great question, thank you for it. So that our instructors are what we call the industry experts. So the difference between our big differentiation between some other schools is that we bring professionals that are working in the field. And this is why they're not only providing lecturing, but they're actually providing practice, experience that they have outside and they can bring in the classroom in the short term classes that was, as I said, 1 day, 2 days, two weeks. And it's important to say, too, that our learners are primarily, we serve adults around 25 to 55. We already have a bachelor's degree, at least a bachelor's degree, but it's not necessary. I would say this is the primary. And the learners come here to seek professional development. They want to update their skills, they want to advance their careers, or they want to transition to new fields. And many participants work outside their original field of study, and then they come here for a career transition and skill enhancement. And the good thing about this is that our professionals, our instructors, are subject matter experts because they come from the industry and bring here the information.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, if you're looking at gaining skills for an existing career, the amount of time that you would spend in a particular class, would that be, I'm thinking, you know, a day or two might not be enough.
Well, that's why we also offer certificates. So, for example, in data analysis. So you're going to have about 7 classes that you're going to be, it can be a week, right? So okay. We have 1 day, 2 days, depend of the content that of the class, right? So, but the idea is that you come, you learn, you get the tools and you're out of the door doing what you want to either brush up your skills. But let's say you want to get some more information, then you can take a certificate program that will take a, maybe in 6 months where you have to take about 7 classes. And we have some 5 core, 2 electives that can gear to exactly to what you are looking for, right? So then we have certificates in several areas, engineering, business, labor relations, business, again, human services, where that gives you the whole umbrella of information that will give you more information for you to go out. So then it's not only 1 day or 2 days. But it's definitely not a 3-year program, a 4-year program, right? So and employers look for that because they also want to make sure that their employees come here and they can still continue working without learning and putting hands-on in what they are learning, but still able to be at their job and not miss that the whole semester, for example.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes it's a career change. And I can imagine, let's say somebody's in an industry and they've got one aspect of a job, let's say they're in the production side of things, but they'd really have come to learn that maybe human resources might be a better role for them.
Correct. And we do have cases that this happens, including that we have, because we also provide the test prep for potential candidates that want to get credentials. We offer this test prep to offer them the credentials, or someone that is already in business, but want to now, we talk so much about project management, and we are here in Milwaukee authorized training facility where we prep for the project management professional credential. So a lot of people that have a business degree, well, but I really want to go into this specific area. So they come to us, they take either classes or the certificate, take the test prep, and then can go either get promoted or go to career change. We have just one example. We have a student that graduated actually in music. And this person came to us saying that, well, I like music, but this is not really what I want to do. I think I like numbers, too. Is there anything that we could do? I don't want to go back to a degree. And this is when we offered the data analysis. You know, why don't you take one class, the foundations, and see how it goes? Well, it turns that this person finished the whole certificate. It took her the whole certificate about 8 months. But this person is now working as a data analyst in an insurance company. So things change. You know, it was totally a career change, but it worked for her. And actually, right now, this person has also continued their education on campus as a master's degree. So these are good examples where make us to continue what we do on a daily basis.
That's pretty cool. Well, we have somebody who wants to share an experience. Angela in Fort Atkinson, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
I am 58 years old, and my lifetime job is as a musician. And during COVID, having everything canceled for 2 years, I figured it was time for a better day job. So I went back and got my associate degree in nursing, graduated last May at 58 years old. And my plan is to continue on to getting my master's degree. And I've been talking with UW Milwaukee's nursing program about doing that. And The prerequisites are what kind of get people, but because I needed a statistics class, and I'm going to be doing their expedited master's degree because I have a bachelor's degree. It just happens to be in music. So I needed to take statistics class, and when I went to sign up for statistics class, they had said I could do it at UW-Milwaukee. There's another online learning system called Portage Learning, which is online. You could take a lot of prerequisites there. Or I could go to Madison College where I did my associate degree. So come to find out that Madison College gave me a red flag saying, you've already taken statistics. So I contacted UW-Milwaukee and said, hey, so I've already had statistics apparently. And they said my statistics class was from 1993 and graduate schools like their prereqs within 5 years, possibly 10, but 31 years was right out.
Well, I was thinking back to my own career. I had to take 5 statistics classes through my bachelor's, master's, and PhD programs. It's a lot of statistics. A comment on Angela's work, Angela or Sarah.
Angela? Yeah, it's wonderful to go back and change careers like that. That's awesome.
It was indeed. Thank you so much for calling, Angela. And another Angela, Angela Kelber, is one of our guests today, Associate Director of Continuing Education at UW-Milwaukee. And Sarah Grammer, we haven't heard much from her yet, but we sure will in just a minute or two. She's Director of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and it's great to have her with us as well. And you can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Carla emailed us. She's living proof, she says, that it's never too late to go back to school. She went to UW-Madison for one semester straight out of high school and had a 0.58 grade point average. In her mid-30s, she went back to school, this time at UROC in Janesville, where near where she lived at the time. And after 2 years, she transferred back to UW-Madison. Her first semester grade report said, on the top, congratulations, you are on the dean's list. And on the bottom of that grade report, it said, on the bottom of the grade report, it said, you are warning, you are on final probation. At 41, she earned her master's degree in communicative disorders. You are off of probation. She earned her master's at 41 in communicative disorders, became a speech and language pathologist. You must have many comments from folks like that. Angela.
Correct. We do. It's almost, depending on the programs, we're always on a week basis that we get some, we have the evaluations where people report, or we keep asking for testimonials where they are reporting, you know, what was their life, and then they stopped for different reasons, and now they are coming back, and, you know, how wonderful it is to have opportunity to take program that it doesn't require them to take 3 or 4 years in the credit area, but come to the our programs that are non-credit, right? So they are the non-credit. But one of the things that we do really care about, we give them the CEUs, continuing education hours. We give the professional development hours for engineers. We even are allowed to give the continual legal hours for lawyers. And so there's several, outcomes that you can get if you come to our UWM School of Continuing Education. But definitely in a daily, I would say weekly basis, we got stories that we could talk. I could go over, but it probably would be more than noon here.
So what's the cost for professional development classes? Suppose it depends.
What it depends?
No, I say I wonder what the cost is, and I imagine the cost for these programs probably depends on, you know, what's involved in the class.
Correct. Yeah, there is a variety because it's, it could be from, from $99 to $1,000 or almost $2,000, depending on the time. The content, if it's going to give you credentials or not, if it's a test prep. So there's several items, that we put in consideration when we go to see a class. I see that normally the business class range about 800, 300, 400, 800, depend of the number of hours that we are giving the CEUs, the continuing education hours that we are providing, because that also has to see with how many hours of class.
Sarah, I want to get you involved here. You're with the, you're director of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at UW-Milwaukee. Talk about the Institute. What's its history?
Well, we actually go back to 1982. The Institute was started originally by some retired volunteers who were really interested in continuing their learning and education. Angela and her team run some incredible programs for professionals who want to change careers or continue their education. But honestly, even when we're beyond that point, when we're happy with our career or we're ready to retire, we gain so much from continuing to learn. And that's where the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute comes in. It's for people who still crave education. They want to learn new things. They want to build community with their peers and learn together. And we offer each term, spring, summer, and fall, usually about 100 classes that people can join us either in person or on Zoom simultaneously from wherever they're at. We've got members everywhere from the Milwaukee area on out to even Washington State. People will join us via Zoom. So very accessible program. Some of our classes are just one time. So, you know, you can get in on a class, for instance, in contemporary economic policy issues this fall, or you can take a series of classes on everyday ethics. We have the arts, we have science, we have history and current events. Just kind of everything you could imagine that you might be interested in learning more about. And then we also offer what we call our Go Explore opportunities, which are field trip style programs in the Milwaukee area that allow you to go behind the scenes at all kinds of great businesses and other organizations that you might want to know more about. So a fun way to get out and learn on the ground, so to speak. And then we have a travel program, and every year we run 4 to 5 travel programs, some domestic things like our annual November trip to Broadway, where we take people to 4 Broadway plays in 4 days and on some great history tours. It's a great time over a long weekend. And then we've got a trip coming up in February where we're going to go to Sicily and Malta and really learn the history and culture while looking at some incredible archaeological sites. And then in spring, we'll go back to London for a West End theater tour where we'll see 5 shows in the West End and learn a lot about the City of London. So whether you like classroom learning, you like to learn together in person or online, or you want to get out in the Milwaukee area or beyond, we've got something for everybody who's interested in continuing their learning.
On the travel part of it, is there someone along, I don't know if expert is the right word, but somebody who sort of leads the group?
Yeah. The wonderful thing about our travel program is our trips are always exclusive to members. So you to join us, you pay an annual membership fee, which is just $45 a person or $80 per 2 people in a household. And then that makes you a member of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here at Milwaukee at the UWM. And then you can join our travel trips. They vary in length of time and in cost. But there's always a member of our staff on the trip from the beginning, where you're getting on the charter bus in Milwaukee, getting through the airport until you're back home and returned to the Milwaukee area. And then along the way, we also always work with local guides and local experts to dig deeper into these different destinations.
That sounds pretty cool. I want to go back to the Go Explore part of it, too, where you're...
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that.
Oh, my gosh. We go so many places, and actually, this is an area of our programming that's just exploding right now. We opened for fall registration last week, and so many of these people were just excited to get on the list right away. A few of them have filled up, but... for instance, our most popular one this fall was behind the scenes at the Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. We've got a special behind the scenes tour. Going to get to see all the inner workings of the airport. Pretty cool. We've got an all day trip to Frank Lloyd Wright's Oak Park. We are going to Mount Mary University's Fashion Archives, which is another really popular trip. They have so many, many items in their archives they're going to show us.
Boy, it really sounds like a lot of fun, actually. All of it.
Yeah,
all of this.
Have you been to the Jones Island Reclamation Facility?
No, I haven't.
It's going to be a good time.
Oh, I tell you what, it sounds pretty amazing to me. Let's go to the back to the classes again, though. Give me more of a range of the types of classes, and typically these are shorter.
Yeah, our average class runs, a session will be an hour and 15 minutes. That's usually an hour-long presentation, typically with slides and graphics, and then 15-minute Q&A, which I think is just the magic in the room because it gives you, the participant, the opportunity to have a talk back with the presenter, you know, ask your questions, hear other people's questions, and learn more, go a little bit deeper into the topic. So an hour and 15 minutes is our typical session time. Now we have short courses, and those might meet, for instance, like every Tuesday at 10 a.m. for 3 or 4 weeks. And then we have what we call our talks, and those are just one-off. Like, you just come once for an hour and 15 minutes. And this fall, we've got a talk on the Cassini mission. Dr. Dennis Roscoe is going to discuss the Cassini space research mission by NASA. We get into health topics. We've got a talk on the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's. We have a speaker coming to talk about the artwork at the Grauman Museum. Just kind of, you know, a real spectrum, whether you like the arts, are you looking for technology classes? One talk we're having is called My iPad, How Do I? ? That's going to be very popular. We're talking about how Poland has welcomed Ukrainian refugees and what that's looked like for them. Another speaker is going to talk about U.S. Navy nurses on Guam between 1899 and 1910. So just a whole spectrum. There's a rock and roll dance fitness class you can join where you're going to learn the history of a rock and roll dance and how you might implement that to stay a little healthier. Class on Pablo Picasso. And then there's a speaker coming from UWM to talk about Wuhan in China, where the COVID-19 pandemic started, and give us a real history of that city, past, present, and future, which is going to be fascinating.
Wow. So here at UW-Milwaukee, we have the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which is it's a non-credit, right? And
it's non-credit. It's for people who, you know, maybe you went to college, maybe you didn't. It absolutely doesn't matter. But you love learning. You loved field trips. It's all the things you liked about school. No tests, no grades, and you pick the classes you want.
And then on the other hand, there's Angela with the continuing education at UW-Milwaukee, where you can earn certificates for the work that you do, and maybe moving to a different career or enhancing the career you're in. Sounds
correct.
Like to me, Angela.
Yes, this is correct. And and a lot of other things that we offer here too is, and I've seen more and more, the companies are coming to us and asking for specific learning opportunities for their employees. So that's when we offer the customized training too. And it's very common that we'll go to the place in Hartford, for example, and there's some companies there. We'll go there. We teach what they're learning. Normally, they are asking leadership. If you ask me what are the top programs right now, I would say the project management, leadership programs, data analysis, and labor relations are our top ones at this moment. But B2B.
Well, it sounds like, to me, some really exciting things going on in, at UW-Milwaukee. And Angela, Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today. Angela Kelber is Associate Director of Continuing Education at UW-Milwaukee. Sarah Grammer directs the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at UW-Milwaukee. And we have links on talk at WPR.org/Larry. Well, we're going to talk about teachers coming up next. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.